Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Simplexity of Design podcast. My name is Alexandre Joyce, and I'm finishing my master's at the University of Montreal in the Design and Complexity program. And today I'll be presenting to you the paper I wrote last May in 2007 called Democratizing the Design Process, Participatory Design over the Internet. This paper can be seen as an introduction to the greater themes that will be discussed in my upcoming thesis. So, enjoy the presentation. The date is Friday, May 4th, 2007, starting with complexity. The leading thinker behind the study of complexity is Edgar Morin. He dates the notion of complexity to the early 1950s, where the first connections were made between cybernetics, systems theory, and information theory. Consequently, the notion of complexity emerged. Firstly, cybernetics is the theory of autonomous machines. In opposition to the principle of linear cause and effect, cybernetics studied retroactions and regulation. These concepts were characterized by the presence of a feedback loop that amplifies or diminishes the initial cause, creating an autonomous system. Secondly, systems theory has become the basis for organizational thinking. In the organization of a whole, the different parts can have retroactions. The study of these types of systems has led to the principle of emergence, which states that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Although Morin has deciphered seven more principles of systemic organization that contradicts and counterbalances each other, emergence impacts most significantly this research study. Information theory studies systems where order and chaos cohabit simultaneously. From the order and repetition and the chaos and randomness is constructed a governed whole that organizes the information. As time goes by, this becomes a form of auto-organization that regulates the extremes. Even with its foundation in the three previously described fields of study, complexity is still hard to define precisely and concisely. Complexity is certainly not to be interpreted as something that is simply complicated, but rather as that which is constructed of many related parts. In 1962, Herbert Simon sidestepped the daunting task of defining complexity by stating that the property of a complex system refers to the large number of parts that interact in a non-simple way. Having studied the evolution of science and systems theory, Checkland states that complexity is present when there are more variables than one scientist can manage. He also professes that complexity differentiates itself of the mechanist way of reductionism and attempts to create relationships amongst entities. In this research, the importance of complexity will come from its emphasis on the relationships between the elements more than on the elements themselves. The date is Thursday, May 10th, 2007. How does complexity meet design? In the beginning of the notion of complexity, the closed institutional and research models of the hard sciences of mathematics and engineering ironically didn't permit the notion of complexity to reach out to other disciplines like biology and social sciences. Parallel to the evolution of traditional scientific disciplines, the design field has been evolving rapidly. In the last decades, design research has been moving from a positivist, mechanist method of research to the constructivist and complex approaches. The constructivist approach differs from the positivist approach methods by accepting that multiple points of view can shed light on a single issue. In resonance with the constructivist approach to creating knowledge, Bonziepe states that the sciences approach reality from the perspective of cognition, of what can be known, while the design disciplines approach reality from the perspective of projectability. Seeing the world as an object to be built is the first step to understanding and working with the concept of complexity. To tame such complex problems then requires more than a logical approach. In fact, complexity looks to unite and transcend by superimposing itself to the Cartesian positivist methods of gathering scientific knowledge through division and analysis. With a complex point of view, the design methodologies have evolved to include more of the instability and relationships created in everyday life. Bonziepe states that the sciences approach reality. The date is Tuesday, May 15th, 2007. How did design methodology evolve? In the early 1960s, a change in design thinking was initiated with the founding Conference on Design Methods Research. The first generation of design methodology had been more concerned with understanding design than actually proposing better ways to solve problems. The rational methodology was to begin with a primary generator. Then, the designer worked in a conjecture revision, a step-by-step iterative process, searching for ways to align beauty of the form in line with its function. The design methodology was mostly concerned with Descartes' division, analysis, and synthesis. Furthermore, by taking a rational approach to the solving the limitations imposed by the different elements of the problem, the first methodology was still distant from the everyday process of problem solving. The second generation of design methods was looking to detach itself from a uniquely rational methodology. In fact, Alexander expressed his discontent with research that was distancing itself from doing design and was leading towards a passive criticism of design. The emerging second generation became apparent for two reasons. Firstly, the field of design was in crisis. Riddle noted that when methodology enters a field, it's a sign of crisis within that field. However, the second reason was unacceptable to Alexander. He thought that it came from fear. Fear of commitment, fear of decision-making, fear of designing. And was leading to... During the second generation, Riddle advocated for the designer to work with the client, as they both share elements of the solution that need to be exposed during the process. The back-and-forth transit of information relevant to the solution in problem spaces was inscribed in a rhetoric of argumentation to establish a hierarchy or a priority in the issues to be sorted. Riddle called for a change in attitude. Already at this point, the idea of the stakeholders participating in the process was emerging in order to gather all the different views and arguments. And I quote, "The manner in which the solution comes about does matter in another way. That is, the experience of having participated in the problem makes a difference to those that are affected by the solution. People are more likely to like a solution if they have been involved in its generation, even though it might not make sense otherwise." The third generation in design methodology produced an epistemology where professional practice is a problem-solving process concerned with selecting the best known method to attain established ends. Science itself was not the problem, but the technical rationality position of science within the positive paradigm. The analytical, empirical, and logical perspectives of positivist objectivity don't solve the dilemma for our rigor versus relevance that designers are confronted with in everyday situations. Because professional knowledge involves experiences, feelings, and subjective evaluations, Sean integrates daily life experiences and skills with the concept of reflection and action. It entails building new understandings to inform our actions in the situation that is unfolding. Moreover, the practitioner enters a dialogue with the materials of the situation. The epistemology proposed in the third generation now includes intuition, implicit to art from practices dealing with uncertainty. And I quote Sean, "The practitioner allows himself to experience surprise, puzzlement, or even confusion in a situation which he finds uncertain or unique. He reflects on the phenomenon before him and on the prior understandings which have been implicit in his behavior. He carries out an experiment which serves to generate both a new understanding of the phenomenon and a change in the situation." End quote. There have been many generations of design methods research, from pure rationality to descriptive rationality. to the present of reflexivity in practice. This evolution of design research and subsequent practice has led to multiple redefinitions of the design activity, the design process, and the role of the designer. It can be described simply as a change from the old methods to new approaches. The traditional product design orientation was challenged, favoring a process-oriented approach to designing. Design is now described as a process of devising systems, as participation, as creativity, as a discipline, and doesn't necessarily lead to a product. Therefore, in this research, we will focus on two of these points of views on design. Firstly, design is participation with the involvement of the users into the decision-making process. Secondly, design as creativity, which potentially is present in everyone thanks to reflection and action. The date is Thursday, May 17th, 2007. How can complex design processes take place? The design process has introduced itself into a complex school of thought for two reasons. Firstly, it has come in opposition with the doctrinal approach of modernist designers. This design profession is no longer to be limited nor represented by the capacity of a single expert mind, nor a team augmenting such a mind. A single mind trying to design for a variety of million minds has to reduce us all to numbers and not people. Secondly, in the earlier stages of the profession, designers have relied heavily on the expertise of others by referring to textbooks, standards, legal constraints, and especially previous design efforts. Yet there is so much knowledge to be contextualized that there needs to be more people included into the design process. That's why divisions of labor and collaborative strategies have been created to accomplish tasks much more extensive and complex than any individual could accomplish. Of the many ways to tackle the growing amount of complexity in the design planning processes, Forrester proposes that a dialogical attitude should be initiated amongst the problem owners, for the sum of their knowledge will lead the way towards framing the problem space and proposing creative solutions. In a time of distributed cognition and shared creation, specialization increases. Means of collaboration and effective teamwork is becoming increasingly important as the nature of the work changes because of the complex nature of the problems. This creates design communities that have to cope with spatial, temporal, and conceptual design barriers. As spatial and temporal barriers can be surmounted by technological advances, Checkland illustrated how the concept of information is the most powerful idea contributed so far by complex system movement. So much so that he compared it in importance with the idea of energy. All this collaboration is subject to communication problems amongst the participants. In-depth understanding of the translation problem among different actors who directly participate in design activities is key to a more effective, valuable, and direct partnership between designers and users. There has been observed a gap in rationalities that creates barriers between the developer's projected meaning and the user's actual understanding. The importance of this gap between the worldview of the designer and the specific view of the potential user is one of the motivations for participatory design. The other gap is felt amongst participants was called symmetry of ignorance, enounced by Riddle. The mutual incomprehension between users was transformed by Fowles into a complementary symmetry of knowledge, where the active participation of the stakeholders gave way to learning. Interestingly, participatory design is one of the fields that has been studying the communication amongst the participants as well as between the designers and the participants. Accordingly so in this research, the participative design process is perceived as a starting point to address complex design problems, and where there is no single truth to be told, but multiple truths to be confronted. Accordingly so in this. The date is September 4th, 2007. How did participatory design begin? As an expert within the participatory field, Muller defines participatory design, also referred to as PD, as a set of theories, practices, and studies related to end users as full participants in activities leading to software, hardware, computer products, and computer-based activities. This definition relates to a computer science where participative design practices first began in Scandinavia. In the late 1970s, the birth of participative design came from a cooperative movement to counter the growing technological immersion into workplace settings. Participative design activities, comprising tools and cooperative techniques used within workshops, prototyping, and planning, were developed to provide users the means to take an active part in the design process. During this period, various different projects took place in Norway with Nygaard, and in Sweden and Denmark with Ennin Keen. Considered as one of the founding figures in participatory design research, N related the rise of the practice to an explicitly political context during the Scandinavian workplace democracy movement. Initially, research-based participatory design projects were design alternatives to ensure user quality matters compared to mainstream solutions constructed by large companies. The participative design approach propagated ideals of democracy, emancipation, and quality were essential when designing technology for the workplace. Since then, Muller argues that the successes of participatory design in Scandinavia countries will be difficult to reproduce in North America or Britain because of the significant differences in labor, legislative, and workplace environments. In 1987, N initiated one of the most famous participatory design action research called the Utopia Project, along with Bodker, another founding figure in PD research. Starting a long line of Scandinavian research projects in the health sector, these endeavors were still orchestrated in response to technical and organizational changes. Their design methods emphasized hands-on experiences with the problem owners. A parallel project took place in Florence where Bjerknes and Brattegg were working particularly with nurses. They developed approaches for them to get a voice in their everyday work processes and in the information technology implementation in hospitals. This notion of active implication of the user during the development of a project has recently been explored by many other disciplines, young and old. The field of participatory design has been applied to many diverse fields like user-centered design, graphic design, engineering, architecture, city planning, psychology, anthropology, sociology, and political science. However, in an attempt to define participatory design, the diversity of these practices has not led to a single theory, paradigm, or study, nor common approach to the practice. Rather, different perspectives focus on certain aspects of user involvement, and most of participatory design theories and practices require simply the combination of multiple perspectives. Because of the significant... The date is still Tuesday, September 4th, 2007. How can participation integrate a creative design process? Understanding design as a communicative process is uncovered by the works of Sean. He treats design primarily as a relationship between designers and design material. In doing so, Sean emphasizes that design competence is foremost the ability to orchestrate the mutual learning processes from the relationship between the design practitioners and the design material. But presently, we're moving into another generation of design research methods, where actors are becoming the central focus of the design process, not material objects. The communicative and dialogical aspects of designing remains, but instead of designers having conversations with materials, they are beginning to have conversations with the users. That concludes the first half of Democratizing the Design Process, Participatory Design Over the Internet. Stay tuned next week, where we will continue this research, and we will continue answering the question of how participation can integrate a creative design process. Once again, thank you for listening. My name is Alexandre Joyce, and these were thoughts and discoveries of an emerging designer. next time.